I wonder about recent sales, which purport to describe in detail scenes beyond life on this planet. Now, Lazarus was never quoted in the New Testament. Dorcas came back. What she may have shared was never publicized. Paul placed a padlock on his journey. He drew a line, things not lawful to be uttered. Has the mandate changed? Who are permitted to return and why? Dorcas was one of these. Dorcas is designated by an outstanding virtue. She lived for others. It is a selflessness, a thing of rare beauty. Dorcas was a person who was needed and wanted. Compassion is the operating principle of her life. She is the saint of Joppa, the inspiration to a million women who have followed. And God sent her back. The woman who was always wanted when she was alive is wanted now more than ever after death. Will any of us be wanted that much? It's a powerful word, wanted. Such columns are read eagerly in the classified advertisements. It's despair to feel unwanted. It's almost the sentence of death. It's cruelty to be removed from circulation or to be abandoned as useless. It's the nightmare of the elderly, whatever retirement may be. It should never suggest over the hill or not wanted. Death is preferable. How can such a moment or such an experience be avoided? The life of Dorcas is the answer. Keep busy, and keep so busy that you do not have time to think of yourself. First, she was a woman of a loving heart. A well-worn phrase has merit. Prosperity gains friends, but adversity tries them. But for Dorcas, adversity was her market. She found her friends there, people who needed her. Like David, she gathered to her all that were in distress. It doesn't take long to build a following. I grew in a home like that. My parents kept an open door toward these in adversity. It's an enigma to hear about unemployed ministers. Jesus said, look, there is sickness, there's poverty, there's accident, there's misunderstanding, so get busy, mister. You can't be unemployed till every tear is dried, every sob muffled, every ache eased, every path smoothed. I'll tell you what permanent happiness is. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and it will cure boredom and complaint. Try for the next 6 months spending on those in need what you are presently spending on your own ill health. How did Dorcas find this direction for her life? Well, she herself may have been lonely. No family is mentioned. She might have buried herself, as thousands do, in anonymity, in self-pity and accusation, in bitterness and affluent privacy. But she chose to be outgoing. She appears to have been born in comfortable circumstances. She had both time and means. But she decided to do something with both, and it quickly led to a full and rewarding life. The leverage that saved a life that might have withered is this beautiful, beautiful line. There was in Joppa a certain disciple called Dorcas. She loved and followed Jesus. She was not an apostle or a prophetess. She was a disciple, a pupil. She meant to learn what Jesus had to offer. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus tagged it a new commandment. It's something that is seldom tried. You have to put it into practice to learn that it works. It brings fulfillment. Jesus guarantees it. He loved people. It was his life. He didn't talk about it only. He did it. So he knew exhaustion. He knew intercession. He knew sympathetic pain. He knew travel. He knew demand. He concerned himself for the hungry. He had to do something about the diseased. He mingled with the minorities, and Dorcas was a disciple of Jesus. You and I may not be born that way, but we are certainly born again that way. She became an angel of mercy in Joppa. There was always a parcel in her hand. She was more than Santa Claus. She made every day someone's Christmas. She interpreted Jesus Christ into scores of lives. She spelled it out, her thread and her needle, preached the gospel so that people understood. It's a powerful, powerful evangelism. Dorcas probably wasn't what might be called a gifted woman. She was not a preacher. She was not like the daughters of Philip. Her sermons were in the coats and the garments she made. Her miracles were in the needs she met. She never authored a poem like the Magnificat. She let warm bodies speak for her. She had one talent that she gave to Jesus. She could sew. As her master exalted the cross, Dorcas exalted the needle. She lifted the humble needle out of obscurity and gave it immortality. The needle in the hands of the church has wrought wonders. I pay tribute to the loving women who have made it an instrument of our Lord. All of us may be pioneers. Some form of service waits discovery. It can lift and exalt my name. Every generation awaits new conceptions. It remains possible to find a way, never used before, to serve Jesus and extend the kingdom of God. Many of our youth ministries today are in that category. I've been in Germany recently with the military. I sat with one general while his command chaplain briefed me by chart. The ministries that 18 chaplains under his direction perform. And I came away impressed and grateful. Time and strength are being poured into preventative actions. Couples are subsidized by tithes and offerings in our military chapels for four-day marriage enrichment service retreats. There's nothing passive about the gospel. It is always attacking on every front. My sainted father, himself a clergyman, would say to me as I grew and trained, make yourself a felt necessity. And it was good advice. Dorcas did. She became such a supplier that God sent her back. She was needed. She was wanted. That must be the test of your life and mine. What is in thine hand? Asked God of Moses. And Moses replied, only a rod, a stick. He was mistaken. It was power. It was opportunity. It was victory. It was command. It could roll back the waters. It could smite Egypt. It could open the rock. It could point the direction of march. Miracle and victory were in that stick when given to God. Stevenson wrote, if I have faltered more or less in my great task of happiness, if I have moved among my race and shown no glorious morning face, if beams from happy human eyes have moved me not, if morning skies, books, my food and summer rain knocked on my sullen heart in vain, Lord, thy most pointed pleasure take and stab my spirit broad awake. What is that in thine hand? There were sandwiches in the lad's hand with a potential to feed 5,000. There were crumbs in a Gentile mother's hand and power transmitted to free her daughter from evil possession. There were rope and basket in the Damascus hands and the means to save Paul's ministry for the world. There were lamps and pitchers and trumpets in the pairs of Israeli hands, enough to defeat the host of Midian. There were live coals in Isaiah's hands and a burning that would penetrate centuries and bring him face to face with the Messiah. There were nails in the hands of the Son of God and sacrifice to free me from sin. Oh, the unused power. One day there'll be an audit, and your unused talent will surface. I'll tell you this, young woman, neglected, cast away, unused, it becomes an angry serpent that is enemy rather than instrument. It will bite you with remorseful pain. Nothing in eternity stings like I might have. It could have been different. If I had to do it again, they become unmitigated sorrow, an agony that multiplies. The answer is in God's word. Grasp it now in thine hand. Sir, you have enough to get all the way to the top. Grasp it now in thy hand, Dorcas did. And when the Lord addressed this question to Dorcas, she replied, a needle, Lord. She might have asked, what can I do with such a feeble thing? So might have David asked, facing the giant, what can I do with these pebbles? The answers come down in the annals of the church. Little is much when God is in it. Use it for self, sir, and it'll become a serpent that will poison your life and pierce your heart. But wield it for God, and under his grace it may be transformed into a blessing for others and return to you 100-fold. The worthwhile will live again. Count on it. Lives that are selfish and meaningless are siphoned away. What testimony will stand for you? What problem have you solved? What need have you met? What life have you brightened? What tear have you dried? What body have you clothed? What mouth have you fed? What have you invested here worthy of return? Joppa needed that woman. God thought so. There were needs and sorrows in that city which could be absorbed by her loving heart. And for a little longer, she tarried with them. Dorcas, the disciple, found a way to make her life count. And Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow thy seat shall be empty, and thou shalt be missed. Ask yourself, as I must ask myself, as I bring you to the long, long altar, would anyone miss me if I were to be taken? Would business go on as usual?" That simple test may tell you better than any chart or any psychologist the kind of life you have been living and whether it's worthwhile. It's time to exercise the authority of his name. He is the guarantor. With overflowing joy, I beckon you to the long, long altar, and I'll find a place to kneel with you in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Patrick Cotton, kneeling with us there in San Mateo, California, knows that Jesus is a very personal friend. Brother Ward, during the invitation you said someone is praying to gain weight. I'd returned from serious surgery and needed weight so much. My recovery began immediately, and now I enjoy my normal weight. Claudia Moon knelt with us in the nation of Trinidad in the West Indies. She was expecting her 6th child. And she prayed for an easy delivery, and the Lord cared for her. Everything worked out so well. It was a safe and beautiful delivery, and I'm certain that Jesus was with me that night. Mrs. Petra Otteson, Tacoma, Washington, found her place at the long, long altar. She had been experiencing nasal difficulties. She says, "After Jesus touched me, the doctor did not need to do further work on my nose." So we come in faith believing. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. It's our joy and privilege to confess thee before men that Jesus of Nazareth is thy only begotten Son, Savior, Messiah. We thank thee that thou art always redeeming our lives from destruction. I pray for those in the media trying to protect our freedom of speech. Grant them victory. I pray for our many Assemblies of God missionaries in Central America. I thank thee for the New Testament evangelism they enjoy. I pray that food prices may come down and that the poor may be able to purchase all the necessities of life. Bless our pastors. Above all, anoint them as they preach the word. Please comfort those who've lost a loved one this week. Distill that loneliness with thy nearness. Amen. Now here is the mighty benefactor, searching for the opportunity to glorify his Father. Jesus is the author of good gifts. And there is one among us seeking thy mind about a trip. This person is considering the investment in time and travel. And there are aging parents to be visited and long to see the grandchildren. This person should make the trip without delay, and the Lord will bless and provide. I'm the servant of Jesus, and I'm happy to bring you this good news, but give all the praise and honor to Jesus. Now, this is the meeting. It's a fellowship organized by the Spirit of God. We do not promote any denomination. We gather in the bonds of love. We intermingle in prayer and the word, in our evangelism and care for each other, regardless of color, clothing, creed, circumstance, because when the trumpet sounds and the shout of Jesus is heard and the dead arise, we'll all be caught up together. Jesus is coming, and that's the big news, and you'll be ready if you trust with me that it is not by might or by power, but by my Spirit.